Live from Grove Hill, the Premier Dental Arts Morning News Express. Now your hosts, Bob Miller and Ryan Hedrick.
And that's us, 611 at WFMD, and the 18th day of November. That's right, and we are just a few days away from Christmas Cash for Kids and Thanksgiving, and of course, Ryan Hedrick getting stuck in an epic snowstorm in Buffalo.
Yeah, that trip is now in question because they have a travel ban in Erie County, New York. Mark Poloncarz, the county executive there, said that the ban will be in effect for all of Erie County as of 9 p.m., last night, and they're going to reevaluate it today. I have a strange suspicion that we're not going to be able to make it until probably Monday, and then get up there late Monday and have to turn right back and come back on Friday or Saturday. But because, of course, we have to allow for 48 hours to travel in conditions like that. So it's going to be messy. Not exactly the vacation I planned, but nevertheless, no. We're going to have a good attitude and make the best of it.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can do all kinds of things, but they are talking about historic snowstorm already beginning to bury parts of western New York. As you mentioned, state of emergency and travel bans have already been issued. Officials are saying 12 to 18 inches of snow just overnight.
Yeah. Now, to be clear, Erie County, New York, is much better than getting snow off the roads than Frederick County, Maryland.
Oh, yes. You talk about places like that, they know how to move snow.
For sure.
And rightfully so, because they have more snow. So they get the big trucks, the really big trucks. But still.
And they're just more efficient. I mean, they have more plows. They dedicate more of their budget. Every year they have more salt on hand. So, you know, right. Buffalo is not immune to this.
We've got beet brine.
I'm sorry?
We have beet brine.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's what we put down, the beet brine, which I guess works. I don't know. I haven't really, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I guess I say it works, and sometimes I say it doesn't work. But yeah. The governor, who you probably would have voted for, Kathy Hochul, urging drivers to stay off the roads in impacted areas.
She's such a Looney Tune. Everything she does is based on how she feels. Let me just tell you how I feel about the snowstorm. It is going to be, it's going to be sad. So I think everybody should be in their house. And by the way, if you don't have your vaccine, you need to go to the emergency room right now and get it. Remember when Joe Biden was talking about, you know, the hurricanes? He was trying to relate the hurricanes to getting vaccinated. Right. If you don't have your vaccine, it's a good time to get it. Even though we're facing a Cat 4 hurricane, you better get it.
Yeah, I just saw Jim Cantore drive up Route 70. So, you know, problems are going to happen in New York.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
it. How do you go to New York? How do you go that way? Because, I mean,
so there's a couple of ways to go. And I was actually going to reach out to our friend Marvin for some traveling advice. So what we do is we go through the mountains of Pennsylvania, and I think we take, is it 550? We take 550 to 219. 219 takes us.
550 is in Woodsboro, so.
No, it's not. It's five something. I can tell you, I can show you better than I can tell you. I don't know. My wife does the navigating. I just go the way she points. So
yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like
I know we go like through up through State College, and then we eventually come out on 219, and 219 is a long road that takes us from Pennsylvania into New York, like by Seneca, into Seneca Indian Territory, by like Salamanca and stuff like that. We come through the mountains in Salamanca.
Oh, to Olean. Hit the button, man. Ryan just swore.
No, I said Salamanca.
That sounds like a swear word. Salamanca.
There are a lot of Indian territories. So I used to live in Chautauqua County, which is another, obviously, an Indian name. And then Tiff's mom lives near a town called Cheektowaga. So yeah, it's all types of Indian names around Western New York. Yeah, but I'm actually very sad right now, to be honest with you. I was looking forward to this, and you know, it's like really my only vacation of the year, because even when I got married in July, I didn't take time off. I took one day off. So I've saved up my vacation time, don't get much of it, and I don't know.
Vacation is just not being able to work.
Yeah, I guess.
Not working and getting paid for not working. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you don't make it to New York, you do some day trips.
That's not going to work, Bob. That's not good enough.
Okay, well, I mean, you know what? Take a Frontier flight up there then.
Yeah, I don't think they're welcoming. I think Buffalo Niagara Airport shut down its airport. But Kathy Hochul saying that we all have to do our part to make sure that everyone stays safe during this winter storm. That's why I have declared a state of emergency for impacted county. She loves her power, you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
She said, my administration has been preparing around the clock for this potentially life-threatening weather event. Like they've never been through snow in Western New York ever. We don't need to hear from this political hack to tell us how to be safe in the winter. The government knows or thinks they know how to keep you safe better than you know how to keep you safe.
And isn't that the funny part of it?
Is that,
you know, oh my goodness, it's an historic storm. Well, how many storms in Buffalo have been historic?
Man,
I've always been. And so we are just now into everything is so blown out of proportion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what makes the media outlets, like if you do a search for the storm, which I'm sure you already have, you'll see life-threatening, life-altering, historic. I posted on my, I looked on my Facebook memories the other day, 5 years ago at this time, there was another historic storm. So it's always historic. Western New York is known for historically big lake effect snowstorms. That's just what you get when you live in that part of the country. Anyway, 618 at WFMD, Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick with you on a Friday morning. We're all set to bring you the best entertainment, most news, and of course, we're going to preview the Christmas Cash for Kids benefit tonight at the Elks Lodge. We'll talk all about that all straight ahead. Here's sports.
930 WFMB Sports Update.
All right, it's 619, Bob. Two Frederick County teams being crowned state champions on Thursday. The Urbana Hawks in volleyball capturing its first state title in five sets. At Hartford Community College, the Hawks knocking off Arundel, and the Wildcats, they had won two straight state titles and won 30 games in a row until Urbana interrupted that streak. Boys soccer, Tuscarora Titans beating Sentinel 3-0 in the Class 3A state championship at Loyola. NHL hockey, the St. Louis Blues survived blowing a 3-goal lead to beat the Caps on Thursday in a 5-4 shootout. The Maryland Terrapins host number 2 Ohio State on the college football gridiron. The Terps are 27.5-point underdogs. Do not take the Terps. Mount St. Mary's in L.A. college basketball to take on USC, 620 at WFMD.
One, two, three. Oh, we're going to have to start all over again counting these ballots.
Hey, Bob, I just found... Hang on real quick. I think I have...
Okay.
I have like 50 ballots here.
We've got 863 ballots, and they all go to Jessica Fitzwater.
Hey, Barb, come pick these ballots up. I got 50 for Huff.
Yeah.
I'm selling ballots at the corner of 6th and Market today after 11. Mm-hmm. I'm only kidding. I'm not. You know, I'm sure it's a big business, though, selling ballots. And they keep finding ballots. So every day in the paper, I keep seeing that they found, you know, 1,000 ballots. There's 2,000 ballots. So the headline in the paper, of course, is that Huff lead falls further.
Mm-hmm.
They say Jack Hogan writes, heading into what could be the final day of ballot counting, don't count on it, in Frederick County, Democrat Jessica Fitzwater trailing Republican Michael Huff by 862 votes, less than 1 percentage point. So let me ask you, I mean, I think they have called races around the country with leads like Michael Huff had. I really think that if this was another state in a Republican territory, they would have called this race a couple of days ago. But they have tried and pulled out all the stops for Fitzwater. Of course, she's a two-term county council member. She was behind Huff, a two-term state senator, by more than 1,500 votes after ballot counting on Wednesday. Fitzwater has cut into her deficit each day of the mail-in and provisional ballot counting since Election Day on November 8th, when Huff led by nearly 8,800 votes. I mean, in a lot of states, they would have called the race then. But yeah. No, not Maryland.
Not in Frederick, baby. Why not? Why? I mean, it's, and so I was reading Facebook feeds, and it was interesting that somebody wrote, they did not like what was happening, and he said it was a blank show. I can't tell you what the
blank I can only imagine what they said.
But then somebody said, you know, that there was no improprieties whatsoever, and maybe there isn't. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, well, this is what AM radio, and then in quotations, personalities want you to believe. Mm. There is zero evidence that there is anything wrong with our election process. And, hey, isn't it interesting that winners never complain or protest? Well, I mean,
that's the stupidest statement. Whoever's listening to the show, you are dumb. Honestly, you lack brain cells. Must be that legal marijuana that they let you smoke in Maryland.
I can't imagine Jessica Fitzwater going, if she comes back and she wins, or if Michael Huff wins, you know what, I don't think this is fair, we should check it again. Of course they're not going to do that.
No, here's the thing. I'm not calling into question the fact that they keep counting ballots. I told you a couple of times this week, it's a ballot ground game that the Democrats are winning. So they're not counting votes, they're counting ballots. So I'm not suggesting that the elections are fixed. Maybe you need to listen a little bit closer. What I am saying is this. The election system as a whole is broken. Okay? We need election reform. We need to stop counting ballots. The election was 10 days ago. Why don't we have a winner? Because we need election reform. There's too many ballots out there. There's provisional ballots. There's mail-in ballots. I'd like to know what the difference
absentee
is.
Absentee ballots.
I'd like to know if the general public knows what the difference is between a provisional and a mail-in without looking it up. Can the average person on the street tell you? Probably not, Bob. There were about 3,800 ballots left after Thursday's count. And Frederick County Elections Director Barbara Wagner said in an interview to the FNP that local canvassers have counted fewer ballots on days when they had to get through the provisional ballots or mail-ins that they said were sent electronically. So wait a minute. So you have ballots coming at you from all different directions. Now you have provisionals, you have mail-ins, and you have to count email ballots. Can somebody tell me what's interesting about that?
You want to know what a provisional ballot is? And I know we got to go for a break.
I think
it's very simple. I'll tell you. You ask if somebody could answer the question.
Yeah.
A provisional ballot is counted only if the person who they want to win, provided they don't have enough votes, they count the provisionals.
Goodness. Now I'm even more confused than I was when you started this conversation. It's 6:30 at WFMD.
42 at WFMD, and BG Products brings us our next segment, the one with Mr. Dave Serio, the host of You Ought to Know, Saturdays at 10 right here on WFMD. Good morning, sir.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
All right. Blue skies. Who cares when it's 33 degrees what color the skies are? Good
people
morning.
Who live there, Dave.
Oh, okay. That's right. I forgot about that. I used to do that. Yes, I used to do that. Good morning, guys. Hey, recall to talk about that I think you'll find to be pretty interesting. If you have one of the larger Dodge trucks, the Ram trucks is what they actually call them now, not Dodge trucks, but Ram trucks, 2020 to 2023 Ram 2500, and 2020 to 2022 Ram 3500, if it has the Cummins diesel engine in it, you're being recalled. Turns out that the transmission related to that engine is building up pressure and in some cases is leaking transmission fluid. From someone who actually knows what danger that can cause. When a transmission leaks, it can be an immediate fire, and that is why these vehicles are being recalled. So if you happen to have one of those model vehicles, you're going to be getting a recall notice in the mail very quickly about the transmission that could possibly leak fluid, and then that fluid leak could possibly lead to a fire. So the late model diesel Dodge Ram trucks are being recalled.
Dave, I think I've told you this before, but my dad bought long ago a Deutz diesel engine and a Ford F. I think it probably was a 250, 350 right there at the time.
Right.
That was a beast of an engine. That could pull anything. The only problem was, and they could never get it fixed, was the gas pedal. And I guess the cable to pull this, the Deutz, you literally had to kind of just, it was like an intense workout. And if you had to drive that thing a couple hundred miles, your legs started shaking because the gas pedal was so hard to push down.
Yep. They can be very, very monstrous, no doubt about it. And, you know, some of the performance vehicles are the same on clutch pedals. And if you get stuck in traffic, your left leg can pray to the Lord to get out of that traffic, I'll tell you.
But it was a cool engine. But if it ran out of gas, it was, you didn't want to have to deal with that. You had to bleed the lines.
Had
to do all kinds of stuff. But it was a cool Deutz diesel engine, and I ran out of gas.
That runs out of gas is trouble. You're talking about bleeding the system, replacing filters, all kinds of fun stuff. So you don't want that to happen.
Ever.
And by the way, I want to thank Ryan for covering for the last 2 weeks with Todd and Jose from Dynamic Automotive. Great job, guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, man. It's fun. Those guys, seriously, I mean, it is, we joke about it all the time, but it's a difficult job to host a car show if you're not mechanically inclined like you guys are. You guys are very good at what you do, but Todd and Jose from Dynamic Automotive, they have 5 locations, soon to be 6 in Frederick County. They make life very, very easy for me. And thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Hey, Dave,
my pleasure.
Quick,
thank you, sir.
I know winter is coming, so what should people do to prepare their vehicles for winter?
Well, the major important parts are like your hoses and belts. That's extremely important. Belts can fail very easily in the wintertime when there is severe temperatures. Also, of course, your cooling system, making sure the cooling system, your hoses, your coolant level, the coolant condition, all of those are extremely important. And then air pressure in your tires. Your tire air pressure will go down a little bit in the colder temperatures. So if you're already in the low area, that's a bad thing. So those are the major things that you want to have checked. Coolant system, your belts, and also your tires. Make sure they're all in good shape and ready to handle the winter weather.
I heard a rumor, and I know we got to go, and I'm sorry, Ryan, but I heard a rumor. People were having this discussion on whether or not your tires, that you should read the pressure, amount of PSI in your tire from your door frame there, or do you read the side of the tire? Because the door frame pressure is for the manufacturer tires that are on your car. So should you read that, or should you read what's on the sidewall of your tire, and why don't they make that bigger?
The sidewall of your tire is a maximum pressure, not a required pressure. So you don't want to go by that at all. You always want to go by the vehicle. It's either going to be on your door jamb, or it may possibly be in the glove box, or it could be just in the owner's manual. But your information on tire pressure is going to be there, and it's the what you go by. So you're going to go by what the vehicle manufacturer states, and again, 99% of the time, that is on the driver's door jamb. They have a ticket there that will give you all the information, and front and rear can be different. So make sure you check it out.
All right, Dave Serio, thank you for joining us. And, of course, You Oughta Know with its rightful host, Dave Serio, back in the saddle tomorrow after 10. And we'll be checking you out. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great morning.
Yes, sir. And happy holidays to you. 648 at WFMD. lots of Frederick County sports to get into. So much so, I really don't have enough time to tell you all about them, but I'll try to cram it in. Here we go. Here's Sports 648.
930 WFMB Sports Update.
All right, let's start off with high school football, because significant game for Brunswick tonight facing Forest Park. Forest Park 7-3, Brunswick 8-3. The Railroaders are trying to reach their first state semifinal in 11 years in their fifth overall. The game right here on WFMD tonight, Oakdale against Westminster. Of course, you know the Bears best for stunning everybody and ending Frederick's unbeaten season last week. We'll see what they could do tonight. Steve Nibbs will join us for a preview after 8:40. Meanwhile, the Maryland Terrapins hosting number 2 Ohio State this weekend on the college football field. The Terps are a whopping 27.5-point underdog. Game on WFMD at 3:30. Caps lost last night in a shootout 5-4. Mount St. Mary's in L.A. to take on USC. That's sports. It's 6:49 at WFMD and WFMD.com.